Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist in Chicago, here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the pet talk shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. And I look forward to seeing you October 2nd and 3rd in New York City at my Dog Film Festival. All the info is at DogFilmFestival.com. The Expert Vet is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. And are brought to you by Halo, holistic natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Can you identify what's on the label of your own dry dog food? Halo uses real meat in their kibble. No rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. Their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pooch's dinner. And Dr. Donna's dream for a super low-carb canned cat food is here. Halo's pate-style cat food has only 5% carbohydrates. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that has had outstanding success with their human product for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. Dr. Donna, one of the most important messages you've given all of us, all of we pet owners over the months and soon years on this show, is to pay attention to blood work. And we all turn a blind eye. And unfortunately, some of our vets turn a blind eye. What's the point of doing blood work if whatever is even slightly abnormal, someone doesn't do something about it? Can you talk about this? I know it's a frustration for you as well.
Right. And, you know, I think one, it is a great topic. And one thing is not even just looking at abnormal. What I always encourage all pet owners to do is ask your vet for copies of the lab work. And what you can do is keep yourself, if you're savvy enough, you can keep yourself a spreadsheet. And, you know, because just thinking about even Teddy's blood work that
yes.
we watched.
Yes.
And slowly his red blood cells, which is the anemia factor, they slowly went from high normal to middle normal to low normal. But they dropped by a huge percentage, but it was still technically, quote unquote, within normal.
That's right.
But it's sort of like, even though that value comes up normal, the trend is that in these last 2 or 3 years, we've seen dramatic decrease of the red blood cell count, even though it's still normal. And so that for, I believe it was Teddy, but at one point then that's consistent. We had the anemia, we had a high cholesterol, we talked about thyroid disease.
That's right.
You know, so there are just even trends, not just abnormalities, but trends. And if you get the lab work, then you can say, well, what is the meaning of this elevated liver enzyme or
this?
I mean, it's, I hate to say it, but you kind of call them to the carpet. Say like, I need an explanation for this.
And also call their attention to it, because even
right.
human doctors, I think many of us have had this experience. You go in for your yearly exam, or you're even not feeling so well, so they do a full blood panel, and it comes back directly to sometimes to you, even the owner of your own body. It never
right.
comes back to you as the owner of your dog or cat, which it should.
Right.
And if unless something is flagged by the lab as abnormally high or low, even then, mm-hmm. the human doctor doesn't necessarily make big fuss about it.
Right.
But
I'll be honest,
if it shows abnormal low, they're like, well, it's close enough to normal.
Right. And, you know, and I will be the first to admit, something's a little high or a little low, it really means almost nothing. Versus some other things, even small, tiny little nudges are really important. Now, you as a pet owner don't know that. So, but it's okay for you to request an explanation from your veterinarian. So it's, I think it's a really good proactive thing to do. Because in kind of segueing into this, one of the most common things that I see on a daily basis with my referral cases when I'm consulting with veterinarians across the country is elevated liver enzymes. And it is, I get sent referrals all the time where we've been waiting and watching the liver enzymes. They're up, they're down, they're the same, they're still just up a little, you know, but they've sometimes been up for months and months. And while no one should be doing unnecessary tests, dogs that have persistent elevations of liver enzymes, they need a further workup. Something needs to be done. Elevated liver enzyme is an indication that there is something going on. Some of those somethings are going to be really, really benign, but then because the liver is like the cesspool filter of the whole body. So, I mean, it could just be like a little spot of regeneration in the liver because it was damaged by a low-grade toxin or something, or it could be because there's also going to be the dog that has a major gallbladder problem or a slow-growing liver tumor or something that's going to go undiagnosed if we take the wait-and-watch approach.
So wait and watch with elevated, even slightly elevated liver enzymes is not dissimilar to why we do not wait and watch cancer grow. If a dog has a lump, we want to aspirate. We want to find out, is there anything going on, and eliminate the doubt.
Right.
Elevated liver enzymes means, I'm asking this with a question mark, that your liver is working extra hard to repair itself or deal with an infection? Or what does it mean when they're elevated?
Right. And I love that you asked that question, because that's what you should ask your veterinarian. If there are elevated liver enzymes, say, well, what are the possibilities, doctor? What could it be? Because it depends. There are two major, you know, there's a few more, but there are like two major enzymes, and a lot of people have heard of them. Alkaline phosphatase, or the ELK-phos, doctors often call it,
okay,
or the ALT with a T like Tom.
Yes.
So ALT or the ELK-phos. And really, if you've got the ELK-phos being high is the only enzyme elevation, I'll be honest, often that's associated with more kind of benign things, if
okay,
you will. But if it's the ALT, if you have an ALT elevation that is ongoing, that is bad news, Buster. Even if it's small increases, that is the one that is directly correlated to your liver cells are dying.
Ooh.
And they are rupturing. And that ALT is only found inside of liver cells. So, and the fact is, the ALT lives in the bloodstream for only hours at a time. So if you check your dog's ALT and it's high, in a week later, it's still high. In a month later, it's still high. That dog has ongoing liver cell destruction and must be dealt with. That is the one that you and I have talked about before. Just these ALT elevations, that's the one that like these healthy young Labrador retrievers get.
Yes.
And they often have them between like 2 and 5 years of age, and they are waited on and they're watched. And then these dogs end up with liver failure and dying of severe liver disease. So it is an ALT, strictly ALT elevation is nothing to be just waited and watched upon. Now, the ELK-phos is a little different, and we can talk about that. But I think that's the most important thing. When you get this paperwork in front of you as a pet owner, say, oh, hey, I noticed that these enzymes are elevated. This pattern, what could it be? Could it be the, you know, I mean, not that you're going to know the possibilities, but have your vet explain to you what those enzymes are and what the possibilities are for their elevation, because it depends.
Is there any chance that your own vet, perfectly nice, kind, caring vet, doesn't know?
Of course. I mean, there's a possibility.
I mean, doesn't even know what the possible, is it liver cancer? Is it gallbladder disease? Is it, you know, whatever? Is it possible your own vet actually doesn't know?
It's possible. And what's more common than that, because veterinarians don't want to be alarmists often,
right,
either. You're sitting, let's say you have, you know, 7-year-old Buffy, the Cocker Spaniel, sitting in front of you, healthy, not losing weight, not vomiting, asymptomatic, perfectly healthy, in for his pre-dental checkup,
okay,
doing great,
okay,
and we have elevated liver enzymes. the vet often doesn't want to tell Mrs. Jones, oh, you know, this could be a liver tumor, you know, because they're going to be an alarmist. And so, and often it comes down to these personal relationships, and it's really difficult for them to give sometimes news that is going to set their owners on edge. So they say, well, let's just see, because he's doing so well. He doesn't have symptoms. Let's recheck it in a week or two, or let's recheck it in a month and let's see how it's going. And I, you know, but hopefully, if they don't really know all the possibilities, they contact, you know, like I speak to veterinarians all day, every day on these lab consult lines that say, hey, can you look at this blood work with me? Because this dog has these enzymes that are elevated. Can you help me with what my possibilities are, what my workup is? I answer that question no less than 10 times a day. I swear.
Wow. So we're going to take a quick
calling.
It's great that they're calling. And I'm just saying, wow, because think of all the vets who aren't calling you. Now, right. You consult for VCA hospitals, so the only vets other than...
No, I consult for a lab business who
VCA
hospitals are just a small portion of
good.
Their business.
Yeah. Good. So it's actually the place where the blood is processed.
Correct.
They're the ones who the vets are saying, oh my God, what does this mean? It doesn't look good, but I don't get it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have to talk about the issue that it's one thing to not be alarmist, but if you don't light a fire under the owner and make them think everything's okay, Buffy got his teeth cleaned. I, as the owner, before I met you and before I learned this, I wouldn't come back in a week or two to get a blood test, even in a month, because I didn't hear any fire bell going off. It's like, eh, it's a little bit elevated. I would forget all about it, you know, not accidentally on purpose. Whereas the need to follow it is the most important part and to find out what's at the bottom of it. We'll be right back after this quick word. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Spot Platinum, an allergy test to help discover which elements in your dog's environment or diet may be causing his scratching or licking. He may have allergies that Spot Platinum can determine and for which they can make a USDA approved serum custom tailored to your dog's specific needs to control his symptoms, which you give in oral drops. Spot Platinum is a privately owned company that has done more than 500,000 allergy tests over 25 years. For more information, visit them on the web at vetallergy.com. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is also supported by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian who has created many different low-dust litters for the health of all members of the family. For the special needs of every cat, from kittens to seniors, from long-haired to those with out-of-litter box problems who can get back in the box with Cat-A-Track Litter. Precious Cat's new litter, Touch of the Outdoors, is made with field grasses grown in their own fields, bringing the natural scent of the outdoors to provide environmental enrichment for indoor cats. So, Dr. Donna, let's say you get your blood work done, and now you've listened to the show, and you say, could I have a copy of my blood work? And I mean, your vet might look at you sideways, which would be a shame. So you hand it over, and boy, liver enzymes. You're looking for your ELK-FOS. Mm-hmm. You're looking for your ALT. You've learned something. ALT, elevation, serious buster. That's what Dr. Donna says. Mm-hmm. So you see this slight elevation in ALT. Is cancer, is liver tumor like the number one thing you don't want to say out loud, but is that the highest possibility?
No. It's actually not, which is good news.
Thank God.
We see, because let's go back to the liver. It produces proteins for our body. It filters all the blood. It takes up all the toxins we're exposed to. It takes up bacteria from our gut. I mean, it's a busy, busy filtering sort of organ.
Right.
The most common things are a lot of times fairly benign. They're like little spots of nodular regeneration, things that the liver's like, whoa, I'm working really hard here. But they look a certain way on ultrasound, for example. There is a lot of gallbladder inflammation because, again, it's concentrating toxins. And so a lot of these dogs end up having gallbladder disease. There are inflammatory liver diseases that are quite common. Dogs that have high blood fats, you know, like our schnauzers and our poodles that have these real fatty bloods, it can affect the liver and make it like a fatty liver. Dogs that have Cushing's disease, which we've talked about before.
Right.
it affects the liver enzymes. And so there are just, I mean, and then there are liver tumors as well. But thank gosh, you know, primary yes. liver tumors are not the most common thing that we deal with. It's all this other stuff that's more common. But that's why it's all of a sudden when, if you see enzymes, it's important. Make sure you tell your veterinarian, is there any medications your dog is taking? Are
right.
you giving them steroids, including eye drops, shampoos, skin sprays, anything?
Wow.
Non-steroidal pain medicines, anti-seizure medicines, herbal treatments, alternative treatments. You know, make sure you're coming clean
right.
with everything.
Right.
And then also tell them of any other signs. You know, be your dog's advocate. You know, I've noticed he's drinking more or urinating more.
Right.
Boy, he's got a huge appetite. He's been gaining weight. He's had some vomiting, some diarrhea. You know, be as complete and thorough as you can be so that if there are some clinical signs, that your vet can then take that into account and say, oh, well, maybe we should test your belly dragging, increased water drinking dog for Cushing's. You know, I mean,
right.
you know, there are just things. Because, again, dogs with Cushing's are not often sick, but they have these high liver enzymes. So it's important that you as the pet owner tries to be as really as observant as possible, understand the medications you're giving, you know, make sure you're like I said, coming clean with all the information there is. But, you know, let's say there's no medicines, there's no signs, your dog is fully asymptomatic. A couple things should be done. One is it's okay. Vet says, oh, these are really minor liver enzyme changes, very minor. We're going to put you on a liver support medicine. We're, you know, there's all these like denamarin, Zentanils. There's all sorts of like milk thistle liver support medicines. We're going to do that for a month. I'm going to see you back. And if those enzymes haven't changed and they're not normal then, that's when you say, I'm not going to do another course of this or that. We're going to do a liver function test, which is called a bile acid test, and get an ultrasound.
And that is not that expensive. It's certainly not invasive.
No.
So the liver function test is a blood test, and the ultrasound yes. is just, you know, you're not even sedated. You just lie there, and your belly gets a bit of a shave first.
Right.
So many of us have older dogs that are arthritic or lame, mm-hmm. and many dogs have been on those mm-hmm. Rimadyl, Deramax drugs without mm-hmm. any monitoring. And I know many humans take cholesterol mm-hmm. lowering medications, and they don't get monitored all the time. And I remember years and years ago when my then husband was put on it, and I think he was supposed to be monitored every 6 weeks, and I don't think he got monitored once in 6 years because he wasn't into it, and he was like, I'm fine. These are drugs that have effects on the liver, and mm-hmm. we need to keep monitoring them. Do you think that too many of us are taking the meloxicams, the Deramax, the Rimadyl? Mm-hmm. Are we taking it with no sense that there could be hidden damage, jeopardy, mm-hmm. and we must be more, keeping an eye on it?
Yeah, and yes, I believe that to be true. But you have to understand, I see the worst of the worst. I'm referred patients that have had problems with Rimadyl, have had problems with Deramax and meloxicam, and you name the drug.
Right.
I'm seeing the dogs that have bled out through their stomachs and have ulcers and have gone into liver failure. If you look at a general doctor, a general veterinarian who says, I prescribe these all the time.
Right.
You know, like
exactly.
90% of the time they're fine, but I'm seeing the 10%.
And but so there's something to, between the ones who are brought right. to death's door with right. medications that help with their pain and right. their arthritis and joint issues, and those that are perfectly mm-hmm. fine. But each of our dogs may fall somewhere within it. And I remember right. at one point, very early on in the show, when I got Jazzy's blood checked, and the liver enzymes were slightly elevated. And then we did the test again, I'm thinking maybe 3 or 4 mm-hmm. weeks later. Mm-hmm. And you said put her on denamarin. And there was another liver support mm-hmm. kind of supplement that mm-hmm. we put her on. Yep. And lo and behold, the liver enzymes came down. So it right. was really helpful. Hey,
because
guess what, though,
times,
Donna? I never checked again. Hello. Right. That's
because
like
a lot,
bad.
A lot of times when dogs are on chronic medication, you know, medications are great. They're great for arthritis. They can really be beneficial. But what happens is a lot of those dogs, I mean, it puts a little extra strain because the liver is metabolizing those medications. And sometimes the only thing that really needs to be done is those liver support medicines. You know, we call them liver support and they sound so hocus pocus. But what they're actually doing is they are helping the liver support it to do those metabolic processes. It's helping it. The fact that the drugs are sort of depleting the liver of the metabolic processes.
Yes.
These drugs help these liver supports help reprovide these glutathione and all the other things that these drugs are depleting. So sometimes the only thing that really needs to be done is if they're taking these medicines chronically, they take a liver support chronically. And it's a pretty simple equation versus if you see a dog whose numbers just keep going sort of up, 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 red flag. Sometimes, you know, we either have to stop the non-steroidal medicines, or we have to decrease the dose and use something together with it so that, you know, we have pain control coming from other ways without risk to the dog. So, you know, and I think a lot of people are also concerned. They're like, oh, my dog feels so good on these medications.
Right.
I don't want the vet to say stop.
Right.
You know, and, but there are other ways. There are other ways we can help improve pain. You know, we've got canine active. We've got other things that, you know, can be added safely. So, you know, I just, It does need to be monitored.
Okay, so there's two messages that come along with this. If your dog is on meloxicam or Rimadyl or Deramax long term, is it really fair to say liver support is something they should be on all the time at the same time, that the two should be hand in hand? It makes sense from what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean,
and in that case,
I recommend it in my patients.
Okay, so is Denimarin, that's a brand name?
Mm-hmm.
And I got that. I myself got it off of Amazon, but one can buy that directly from the vet, which is probably nicer to support your vet.
Right.
And what is and milk thistle is one that a lot of holistic vets use?
Well, and milk thistle is an ingredient in
Denimarin. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Is there another brand that we should know about? I mean, I want people to know that there are good brands and they do the job, and maybe there's another brand.
You know, there are many, many, many brands. And, you know, and I think that's where you rely on your veterinarian to say, this is the one they like. They've been working with it. They've got it out. You know, I mean, so I think, you know, instead of going through brands, that's probably not the most useful use of information.
On the other hand, there must be brands where what's in it is not that high quality or not that effective. So, I mean, that's why you have to rely on your vet. You hope you have a vet that knows about this.
Right.
In terms of Canine Active, which is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory and one of our sponsors, it is one of our sponsors because you looked into its science and gave it the A-OK,
mm-hmm.
and I have it. I sometimes have to increase how much I give Jazzy because her pain is, her getting up, watching her get up gives me seriously a stomach ache. She's mm-hmm. willing to do it, and she wags her tail. She's got a very modified life that she enjoys. But I've got a significant amount of Canine Active in both. I don't give it to her in a meal. I give it to her in a ball of Actify, which is a blue-green algae supplement that seems to really lift her spirits. But my own vet, who has an aging dog and who hadn't heard of Canine Active and doesn't really want to have new things on her shelf, she said to me just a few days ago, you know what, I have to get myself some more of that. It really helps Silas. I can mm-hmm. see it now. She sees it, and he's a vet's own dog who's got everything that you can give a dog safely, and the Canine Active as a piggyback on that made mm-hmm. the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So that does it, but that is not something which mitigates the possible damage from any of these steroidals, right?
No, it's a medicine that I often use in patients that can't tolerate some of the others, or they already have elevated liver enzymes. Well,
right.
we can't put a dog like that on a non-steroidal. We have to go with something, you know, safe for them, more like a Canine Active.
Yeah, so that's a really good thing to know. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like a little schedule from you of those of us with dogs, let's say 8 years and up, that are on medications, or even those who aren't. How often mm-hmm. should mm-hmm. we be getting that overall yep. blood test? We'll be right back. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you in part by Woruva, which is a privately owned pet food company named for the owner's three rescued cats, Webster, Rudy, and Vanessa. Dedicated to using quality ingredients in the canned cat and dog foods they make, Woruva recipes are good enough to pass the high standards of the EU for human foods. All varieties of canned Woruva, Cats in the Kitchen in Pouches, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are made in a human food facility, which means everything would be good enough for you to eat if only your pet would share. Support from this show also comes from Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products for people and their pets, providing the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils in all their products. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils, while also offering vegetarian versions of the all-important omega-3 fatty acids. So, Dr. Donna, elevated liver enzymes can happen in a dog of any age or more likely as they get older.
More likely as they get older, but definitely of any age. And, you know, I keep going back to, depending on the pattern of liver enzyme elevation, you know, some young dogs between 2 and 5 years of age, that's when some of the most serious diseases that we see, the severe hepatitis, the copper storage diseases, the really terrible things between that 2 and 5 years of age. So, you know, so it's not just an old dog disease, but it is far more common that older dogs are going to have elevated liver enzymes. And I recommend for all of those, you know, let's say 7 or 8 years and older, that those dogs are getting blood work twice a year, every 6 months.
And this is why, because it really is diagnostic, as long as the vet and the owner look carefully at it and pay attention.
Yeah, let me give you a quick example. Can I give you one?
Please, we love examples.
I have Roxy. Roxy, near and dear to my heart, because she is an 11-year-old Jack Russell. Completely asymptomatic, you know, coming in for the blood work prior to a dental. We've already talked about that.
Right.
She had an elevation of her ALK Phos, okay?
That's serious, Buster.
Nope, ALK Phos is not.
It's it's ALT
that's
serious.
It's more just like,
right.
You know, a lot of
so what?
Get
right.
She had bad teeth, so they gave her some antibiotics. They gave her the liver support med, the Denamarin. She had her dental, and they said, come back and get her blood checked. So they checked it. 8 weeks later, so two months later, they were still elevated. She had about the same elevation. No big deal. It hadn't gone up, hadn't gone down.
Right.
She's asymptomatic, so the vet said, come back in 3 months, which she did. The elevation maybe went up just a titch, not much. She's still asymptomatic, but now her ALT has gone up just a tiny bit as well. So that vet did call me, and I said, get that dog an ultrasound ASAP. And lo and behold, she did have a primary liver tumor.
Whoa.
And it ended up being a carcinoma. And it was one single mass, and they removed that lobe of the liver. Most of the time, by the time we find carcinomas, those dogs live about a year. Well, she is alive 3 years after surgery.
Wow.
Early detection, and it wasn't even all that.
Wow.
I mean, we were 5 months down the road when
right.
It was already, probably could have been diagnosed earlier, but her case was a fortunate one that it was found, it was removed, and she isn't going to die from carcinoma. You know, that's not...
Yes, that's not going to be what ends her life.
Right.
And the horrors of going through that by removing the cancer when it's still at a somewhat young,
right.
young
but
age.
Which is why I say, you know, your dogs that come in, basic blood work, that little tiny ALK Phos elevation, if it's still elevated 4 to 6 weeks later and after some liver support, ultrasound, get some bile acid, you know, get those things done, because the best news your vet's going to give you is like, yep, just like I thought.
Right.
It doesn't look very exciting
right.
at all. Who cares? I mean, yes, you know, there is some dollars that go out your pocket to do that. But the fact is, if he comes back and says, holy cow, are we glad we did that? Your dog has a massive gallbladder infection, or your dog has, you know, a liver tumor. I mean, I can't even hardly believe it. You're going to catch, you know, it may not be your dog, but someone is going to be the beneficiary of that, of finding something early before their dog is sick from it.
And I think that most of us really don't take seriously enough the yearly blood test for a well, youngish dog. We
right.
just don't have any sense. I think it's one of those strange things that has not been taught to us or inculcated in us as pet owners, that blood test is a look inside your dog's right. apparently healthy system, and it's going to give you early warning signs of something to keep an eye on.
And that if there is an abnormality, you have to follow
yes.
up.
So it's a combination of you have to have the yearly blood exam, and for these older dogs, it needs to be every 6 months because right. changes happen quickly. And then if you find something, even if it's only minorly, as you say, a titch elevated, then that has to be watched like a hawk, because it
right.
could be this great early warning system.
Right. And you're okay, again, to ask your veterinarian, what are all the possibilities that could go along with this? You know, put them on the spot a little bit to say,
yes.
what could this be? And it's also okay to say, you know, to ask them to get a consultation on it. I mean, all veterinarians have a local internist that they either call, they have a lab internist that they can call. You know, you're like, it's okay to request, you know, is there, if, you know, if you think that we should wait on this, is there someone you could call? Can you consult on it? You know, that stuff is readily available to every veterinarian in this country.
So if a veterinarian uses a lab, there's two or three labs that are the well-known ones, I guess, mm-hmm. Antech.
They all have
a vet like you who mm-hmm. consults with them. And if a vet calls up and says, I got Fuzzy's results and I'd like a little bit more feedback about it, mm-hmm. they have a veterinarian who's part of their team who will reach out to that vet and discuss it with them.
Yeah, they'll often just,
wow.
Yeah, exactly, just like me. I mean, that's what I do, you know, for a good chunk of my day every day is, and, you know, when they call, I look at the blood work right there with them on the computer screen.
Wow.
And I say, you know, I'm noticing this. Make sure you recheck this in 4 to 6 weeks. Give them some liver support. If it hasn't changed, then you need to do your bile acids and your biopsy. And they're like, wow, thanks so much. You know, I mean,
yes.
A lot of times it's just like, you know, they just need a plan. They just need
that's
some,
right. And they also may have.
They need some validation.
Yeah.
That is the right thing to do, that they're not being an alarmist.
Right.
So it's fully okay for a client, a pet owner, to say, is there anyone you can talk to? I mean, shall we make a plan? Is there, if they seem to be floundering, if they're like, oh, well, we could recheck it or we could just see in a few months. You know, if the vet seems to be floundering a little bit, just ask them to get a consultation.
And I think what we really are stressing is that advocacy may mean lighting a little bit of fire under a vet who, after years of practice and not so many things going wrong, doesn't really have the sense of urgency of a doctor like yourself or any of us whose pets wind up in serious illness to realize that for every 9 cases where nothing happened, the one situation where doing something early and having been proactive and jumping on it saves a life and saves a huge amount mm-hmm. of heartbreak. Mm-hmm. You want to be that person who does a couple of tests that they aren't unnecessary, but they wind up to be nothing. And you know what? That's great. Best money you ever spent.
That's, again, for pet insurance, right? It's a good plug for
that
purpose.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you have one like I have. You just have a yearly deductible. So after you've spent X amount in a year, then they pay, depending on what you've chosen, 90% of every bill. That's pretty mm-hmm. great. You know, mm-hmm. it's not per incident. I used to have one that was per incident, and I had a cap of $7,000, as does a gal out in the Hamptons whose dog, I don't know, 3 discs. On Bean, who's a corgi mix. 3
right.
discs went bad. The dog was screaming in pain and paralyzed. She has up to $7,000 for that one event. Nowadays, I really don't think, given the complexity of medical investigation, that $7,000 is probably not enough. For some things, it's way too much.
For but something it, major, right.
It's better not to have a per incident cap. It's better to have, we're going to cover X percent that we agree on ahead of time after
right.
you lay out X percent in a year. And
correct.
Then you have the freedom to do these tests, not just because someone else is footing most of the bill, but because you could be saving your pet's life.
Right.
Well, guess where I'm going? I'm going to get, luckily my vet is so nice. Jazzy is so lame that getting in the car is a major production. She will send a vet tech over to draw some blood. So that's definitely overdue. And I'll get some Denamarin. I mean, if her liver is in any kind of jeopardy, I want to be given a little stroke every day, right?
Right.
All right. I'm on it. Thank you, Dr. Donna. And hope
Thank
all
you.
Of you will keep an eye on your liver enzymes and those of your pet. Thanks, Donna. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.